I've never seen a diamond in the flesh. I cut my teeth on wedding rings.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
Man, that is a, I'm just sad clown. Dude, that's pretty good.
This is The Gloom, bringing you weekly interviews with F3 Omaha Packs, exploring their F3 experiences and finding those sticky elements that create the glue in the gloom.
Shout out to our sponsors. Major Team Mortgage, Omaha Laser Dentistry, Exclusively Eye Care, Liberty Core Real Estate, Avier Wealth Management, and Apex Men's Clinic. We appreciate their support.
Hey, are you the type of guy that likes to get up early in the winter to battle your jester? Do you love listening to people drone on and on and on about COVID in the gloom? Would you trust your vision to a guy nicknamed Cataracts? Well, if the answer to any of these questions is yes, fellas, you have bigger problems than you think. Dr. Cataracts, aka Dr. Wolf, can't solve all of your problems, but he can certainly help you solve the problems related to your eye health and vision. You will find many F3 principles throughout his practice. Check him out today at Exclusively Eye Care.
Now let's get back to the gloom.
And we're back. Man, I'm excited for this one. We have referenced this guy in some other previous episodes. I think namely our episode with Stranglehold. This man's name came up. Just a phenomenal leader. And I love his story about how he came to the group and just how he's leaned in. And recently a site queue at Wild Kingdom. We got our man Sweet Sweet on with us today. Good to see you, brother. You're looking good. We also have special guest Pony Express in the house. just good to see you too, Pony. Oh, he's having mic issues. But anyway, Sweet Sweet, where we like to start, sort of how'd you get into F3? What was the first workout like, if you remember? And then talk us through the naming. How'd we land on Sweet Sweet?
Okay. Yeah. So I've been being EH'd by Nugent for about a year and a half. He tried pretty tough about once a month, and it was just not for me. I'm not a morning guy, so I like to kind of do my own thing, working out at lunchtime and stuff like that. But so I knew of the group, but I wasn't sure who else was in it besides Nugent and Sparty Wellwood there. So I was like, I knew a couple of guys, but so after Nugent passed in the end of September, we had Nugent's family and his wife's extended family to our Thanksgiving. And his brother-in-law, Blaine, and I kind of connected pretty well the last couple of years, and who's now 12th man after that same day. So we're at, where are we at? The golfing spot outside where he hit the balls. And he's saying, hey, we should go to a workout tomorrow morning. Tater Tot and the rest of the guys are going to be out there. So it was like 10 o'clock at night on a Sunday. And he's trying to tell me him and his father-in-law, Ken, Nugent's father-in-law, we're going to go work out the next morning at the district and do a Murph. And I didn't know what a Murph was. So I was like, I don't really think we should do it. We just had pie, you know, like five nights in a row. I probably had 160 Busch Lights here in the last couple of weeks. So wasn't exactly thinking a 5 a.m. workout sounded good, but we made it there. And yeah, it was terrible. I didn't realize, Sparty didn't tell me what was going to happen. He just said, we do 20 push-ups and then we'll do 10 pull-ups. And then, so I said, okay, I got those done, cranked them out. And then he said, okay, now we're going to do it again. And then I find out you just keep doing those. So I was a little hungover, a little out of shape, a little all that stuff. So we grinded through it, and we ended up, they said, we go to Khaki's Cafe for coffee. Well, I didn't like coffee. I never drank coffee before. So I have to run to the gas station and use the restroom. We got some issues going on here. So we went and took care of business, and then got my orange juice and headed over to Khaki's Cafe. So I was originally named Ditka. I think I said I was a Bears fan and a Cubs fan and a couple other things. So they got me Ditka, and then we got to Khaki's Cafe and started sitting around the fire and talking, and Tater Tot was asking me to what's some funny stories from our time together and stuff like that. And I was like, well, we chatted every day for 29 years. So it's like, it's tough to come up with like on the spot, one funny story, you know, when you got 1,000 of them. And I was like, every day he would call me and say, he'd call me sweet, sweet Billy boy. And so he's like, hey, you're sweet, sweet then. You're sweet, sweet. And I was like, you can call me whatever you want, man. I'm never coming back to this place. This is awful. I don't know why I'm here. It's dark. It's cold. It's crappy. I'm out of shape. I don't like it. So we kind of went our ways. And yeah, that was my first workout in the district. Murph. I figured out what a Murph was real quick. Yeah. And then Khaki's Cafe and all the whole shebang.
Oh man. So you got a name Ditka and then they renamed you at the coffee at Khaki's Cafe. Okay. I guess I didn't realize that. So that's, yeah.
Yeah. I said it would have a little more meaning to me than have to think about my Bears every morning when I wake up, being awful. So he's like, maybe this will be a better fit for you. I said, yeah, yeah. That'll work.
I love it. And such a good story. You know, I'm curious, you know, what do you think? I mean, was it Nugent's passing that sort of motivated you to finally come out? It sounds like that might have had a lot to do with it. But I mean, what do you think sort of internally was sort of like, okay, I'm going to finally go to this thing now?
Yeah, that was definitely, that was a really tough 2 months. And I just wasn't in a good spot. And I knew I needed to make a change somewhere. So I was just kind of looking for what that change needed to be, I guess. And it just kind of happened that Blaine was just nonstop telling me I should come. Mm-hmm. And he thinks it'd be great. And I was like, I don't see how this is going to be great. You know, like, I don't like to meet a bunch of new people. I don't like to chat with a bunch of new people. Like, that's just not the way I get down. So I was like, well, I guess, you know, so it was kind of a twofold. Like, Nugent had worked on me for quite a while and said, mm-hmm. There's a site right by your house. Like, we will go there all the time. I'll pick you up. We'll go. I'm like, I'm not getting up that early. It just doesn't make sense. And, you know, fast forward 3 years now and it makes a lot of sense. So it's been, like how it all kind of came about was, yeah, I was in a dark spot and it was like, I need a change somewhere. I'm not the dad I need to be, the husband I need to be. And, I don't know how to get over it, you know? So it definitely helped push that direction for sure.
Yeah. What, talk us through like from a fitness standpoint, cause growing up, did you play sports or you mentioned sort of working out lunchtime. So from a fitness standpoint, what were you doing up to that point? Like what was kind of your routine?
So I have like a gym, you know, type thing at my office at where I work. And so I'd always just kind of go in there and mess around, as I would call it, more so now that I see what actual working out looks like. I liked to play basketball. So I would play basketball once or twice a week to kind of keep my cardio and then try to do, you know, if I did 20 pushups and a few other weights and stuff like that, just to try to keep in shape. I've always kept about the same body weight. I try, if I get above 200 pounds, it's not a healthy weight. So I got to keep it about 195 to keep it in that sweet spot. And, growing up, I played football, basketball, baseball, like since I could play, whatever age group you could start, 4 years old or 5 or 10 for football or 9 for football, I think. So always played, sports, loved it. And then, tried to stay active, but yeah, you just can't play as you get older. I get injured playing basketball, you know, you get injured rolling out of bed, you get injured. I always had a bad back and was unflexible and some of those types of things. So I was trying to figure out what needed to happen. And, I'm glad we found F3. That's for sure.
Yeah. How did you come to know, Nugent? Like, did you just grow up, going to school together or did you play sports with him or what was that relationship like?
So we started playing baseball together like age 8, I think, or 8 or 9, through like our recreational Grover baseball. We were on the same team for 3 years. And then, from there, we kind of, I guess, what would you say? We were like, you'd play a little separate recreational teams. And then at the end of the season, they'd pick like a, whatever called all-star team or something. Yeah. So then I started playing with him. Well, then I just joined his team, going forward the whole time. So we played, baseball together early on, and then he joined my football team in junior high. So we didn't go to school together until high school, but we were always on the same baseball and football teams, like in junior high.
Okay.
Growing up like that.
So you would know, I mean, was he really as good an athlete as people say he was, or were you a little bit better than him, or how would you?
Definitely early on, I was better than him. he kept growing. I was about my size now in seventh grade.
Okay.
So it was, I grew a lot early and then would kick his ass all the time. And then he'd started to grow until he became a big polar bear. And then he kind of overtook me in that department. So I just had to get him mentally, you know, we always had a mental edge on him that we could get there. But yeah, I mean, his junior year in high school, he took off and didn't play football and didn't play basketball and just concentrated on baseball. And he really started to flourish. He was always a really good player, but I wouldn't have called him great by any means. I still probably wouldn't, but he worked his butt off to kind of get to where he needed to go. Nothing ever came easy. He was a very hard worker. So we kind of instilled that same kind of work ethic together about it.
Yeah. Well, that's super cool to have those friends that, you know, you see progress growing up and then you are friends that, you know, in adult life. I think a lot of my friends from growing up, I don't know, we just have gone our separate ways. So I think it's just cool that to have that. Curious, and I know we're getting kind of deep kind of early, but I guess what do you think it does to a man when you lose somebody like that at such a young age, or so it's kind of so early in life? Do you think, I mean, I don't know, talk us through that, like after Nugent passed, and I don't know, what was that like for you, if you don't mind sharing?
Very tough. I don't know if I would say it makes you grow up, but I've had to do, I don't know if I've had to do, but I've chosen to do some things that are very tough that not everybody either, I hope nobody has to go through, but you know, people pass away for whatever reason and you have to go through their clothes and their hunting gear and, you know, lots of random stuff mm-hmm. that you kind of got to go through, to just help out wherever you can. So like his wife needed help, you know, and his family needed help. So I just have nobody knew him better than I did. And it just felt right to be the one to help the situation along, to close the book and get things where it needed to go. But no, it's not easy, and it's a daily kind of grind to continue to work through it. But I find that if I start my mornings with the F3 or a good workout and seeing other people and kind of flushing some of the crummy feelings out, I guess I could say, mm-hmm. early on in the day, it helps the rest of my day continue on. But yeah, I definitely don't have all the answers, but it's a daily process to kind of work through. But
I appreciate you sharing that. I think, you know, in my mind, it's just such a in your face reminder of like, all of our days are numbered. We don't ever know, you know, when you could wake up and today's the day, you know, which is terrifying, but also sort of gives you a little kick in the butt to say, I love you, you know, a few more times and just cherish, those relationships. You know, I think it's just interesting to me, just the where that puts you and then how that, you know, you've certainly allowed that to propel you to make some significant changes in your life, which is, I don't know. It's just interesting how all those things kind of relate, but would be curious, you know, so kind of taking us back to that first cafeteria at Khakis and you say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what you call me because I'm never coming back. What was the second post like and where was that at and sort of what made you decide to go back to that workout group, the crazy guys early in the morning doing stupid stuff.
Are you or someone you know in the market to buy a new home? Well, if so, check out Major Team Mortgage. They specialize in home purchase and refinance home loans. Their mission is to purposely empower people to experience their good life through building wealth with real estate. You know, showing up in the gloom is no different than showing up for a conversation around your future of building wealth with real estate. Join the action economy and get in the game with Sasquatch. Text or call John at 402-212-0149 to schedule a time today. Individual NMLS number 1393750. Company NMLS number 2478164. Equal housing lender.
Yeah, that's a good question. It was kind of a blur there for like a month of trying to figure out, am I going to go, not go? They sent me, you know, I got on Slack and I started reading back blasts, and then they were sending me, I was not on Twitter ever, so I never knew where these videos were going or what was even happening, why we were doing these Namorama things. Like, you know, I'm like, I didn't understand a big portion of it. So they're like, Nugent's father-in-law gave me the free to lead book and was like, you should read this book. This was Nugent's. It was signed by whoever the guy was, Dredd. Yeah. They're like, you should read this book, and then you should check out Slack, and you should read, see where all these sites are. So I kind of, you know, one of my days, I just did like a whole morning deep dive on what F3 is, reading about it, kind of doing my homework on it a little bit more. And was just seeing all these cool backblast stories and what the workouts looked like and some of that. So then Tater Tot and Sparty were texting me to see how I felt. And like that day after the Murph, I went to the bank and I couldn't sign my name. I couldn't hold a pen to like write down my name. And I was like, God, I need to start doing something. Like maybe this is exactly what I need. You know, I feel I'm not eating well. I'm drinking a lot. It's affecting my family, my kids, you know, my sleep schedule. I'm not sleeping well. So like something's got to give here. I can't continue this on, you know, it's been a crummy 2 months. What could I do differently? So then I found out they were like, well, the next workout you go to, it doesn't have to be a Murph. You know, they're just regular workouts. So I was like, I don't ever want to do a Murph again. Like that was the worst thing ever. So then I stopped doing those for a little while and just was going to like a regular beatdown. I think I started going to Millard South, and Sister Act was the site cue there. And he was he goes to my parents and sister and brother's church.
Yeah.
So I had seen him on the stage before, but I didn't know who that guy was compared to, you know, all of a sudden you got a stocking hat on and you're in the gloom. So we would go to, I think I went to Main Stage a couple of times. I honestly can't even remember those first couple of weeks or months of where I was going. What I think I went to Wild Kingdom a couple of times and then met Fine Print, who then said I remembered him from junior high and high school playing sports against him. Mm-hmm. So then we just kind of started to branch out a little bit, and either someone would reach out to me and say, you know, I knew Nugent, and then Frosty, and I'd heard tons of stories of, you know, Grease Fire and Frosty, and a lot of the guys on the east side there at Futurama and stuff that I had heard their names before and spreadsheet. And Nugent had just kind of told me, like, this group of guys is just different than anybody else I've ever known. Mm. It's like, we have old guys, we've got short guys, we got fat guys, we got guys that run fast. He told me what a Clydesdale was and like all these things that I didn't know what he was telling me at the time, you know, and then all of a sudden it's coming to, now I know what these things are. And I kind of got excited about it I don't like to run long distances ever. But if these older guys and these guys who weigh more than me and these guys who, you know, have whatever their situation is, can go do that, it was very motivating to me, like, maybe I should try it. So yeah, I didn't jump into the pre-run game very strong until probably a year, year and a half in, but I still don't like to do it. But
yeah.
I know that it helps just kind of accelerate you. The next, you know, a 45-minute workout's pretty easy for the most part now. Unless you start doing something pre or do something else throughout the day. So yeah, it's those first few workouts were tough, but then I realized you didn't have to do a Murph every time. So then I try to do a Murph like once a month just to remember the pain keep that standard, the standard, you know, like I could maybe do like seven pull-ups that first round. So then I'm like, okay, that's my basement is 7. So from here on out, I got to do at least, 40 or 50 or whatever it would became. So now I think I can get pretty darn close to 100 now. So it's pretty remarkable that just a little incremental change, a little bit, you just keep pushing. You don't really think about am I getting in good shape? And I'm not trying to get in great shape. It just happened, mm-hmm. And you start going to bed earlier. I started drinking a lot more water instead of beer and maybe eating a little healthier. And next thing you know, I just feel better. I have less back pain. Like I told you earlier, I had back pain and back issues almost my whole life. I had a stress fracture in my vertebrae in high school and had to wear this stupid body brace for like 3 months. And it crushed me my senior year to wear that thing and not be able to play in sports. And from then on, I've had a weak back of, I don't know what this, I couldn't help people move furniture, like all these, whatever it is, I'd always hurt my back. And I have not had, knock on wood, but I have not had back pain in the last 3 years that I've been in F3. And I've got a stronger core. I'm more flexible, like all these little things. I can carry my kids around all over the place. And I'm not the old dude that can't wrestle with them because I'm in back pain. It's demoralizing and just debilitating. It just takes you away when you can't move with your back. So I really owe that to F3 because I know that getting up movement, and I sit it all day. I'm an accountant. So I sit all day at work and you just tell that I just fold up like a chair if I just sit all day and don't move around. So it's really helped kind of push me in that direction. So then I know I've tried to get other people to realize the same benefits that I've realized, and it's not easy, and a lot of my friends tell me the same thing I was telling Nugent. I'm not getting up early. Mm-hmm. I'm not going out in the freezing cold. I'm not doing this. You're crazy. I'm like, guys, you know how soft I was for so long. Like, if I can do it, I promise you, you can do it. I was a pretty soft, cushy, only working out inside, keeping it regular, So it's definitely given me a certain edge. But I don't know if it's definitely losing Nugent, creating an edge, to me a little bit more. I feel like I wouldn't tell people what I was always thinking. Mm-hmm. And he always would. So it was just kind of like this contrast of like, you can't believe you would say that to somebody like an adult or a person of, stature or something. You can't say those things. And he would always just say, F it, F them, F this, F that. I'm like, okay, I guess if that's what you think, man, that's not how you should talk to a teacher or a coach or a professional. You shouldn't talk to someone like that. You'd say, F them, if they're wrong, they're wrong. I'm like, yeah. Okay. So then I'm not trying to be Nugent by any means, but definitely trying to pull off some of the things he did that I liked.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I like that. And I want to get to Nugent's legacy and its impact on you and how you're trying to carry things forward. But I want to go back to something that you had mentioned and kind of dive into that where, you had mentioned Grease Fire, Frosty, Spreadsheets, guys that had built relationships with Nugent, kind of in a later phase of his life, right? Where you've known Nugent for your whole life. And this happens. I am curious, how does your interaction with those guys, like, have you had opportunities to connect with those guys and kind of enjoy that you got to share this special person with each other?
Very much. Yeah. It's, I didn't like reach out too much at the beginning, but they would be telling me stories, a cafeteria or something. And I would like to just sit quietly and kind of take it all in. And they would be telling me what he would say or what he would do. And, I loved that. And it helped me kind of get through that. And I loved hearing their side that, like you just mentioned, when he moved back, so he was in like 35 or 36, like he was different than when he was 21, when he was just here. We talked every day, but I didn't see him interact with people, like at his job. He would tell me all these stories, but he was a very exaggeration. He exaggerated a lot. So I was like, even if 30% of what you're telling me is true, like that's unbelievable what happened in your day, So I was like, yeah. I always took it with a grain of salt. And I know my wife would always be like, he's such a braggadocious guy that just tells stories and, all this stuff's made up. And I'm like, yeah, but it's super fun to listen to, isn't it? Like, he was just extremely entertaining. And I was like, that's been my whole life. So I don't concentrate on every detail. I just know whatever happened was probably funny, and then he made it 10 times funnier. So then here and there, cafeteria with him from whatever day, a few drama, and he was complaining and he was rolling in the snow. And, you know, like, I loved hearing that from Frosty and from Grease Fire and Spreadsheet and Othello and just a whole crew of guys that knew him really well for a year or two, whatever it was. So it's like they saw a more mature husband version, you know, and not just the big kid, you know. So it was like, it was cool to see, like, it sometimes it kind of gets to me a little bit where when we're passing like the Nugent flag around and these guys are like, you know, he's like the greatest guy in the entire world, and I'm like, bullshit, you know. That's, it's not that. And I don't want to, like, I felt like early on, like, I almost have like a stage to say, like, whether or not he was awesome or whether or not he was a big piece of shit. And yeah, it's like, he was both, you know. He's just a perfect mixture. And, but I didn't want it to, I almost took it like personal, because we never like said good job ever. Mm. Like, no matter what you did, you go 5 for 5 with 5 home runs, what are you doing tomorrow? You know, like, yeah, I would call him and keep him as grounded as possible, because he would call me like, I'm the college baseball player of the week. I had 7 home runs. And I'm like, so? Like, yeah. You didn't do anything yesterday. You know, what are you going to do tomorrow? But if you go 0 for 52, which he did, went 0 for 52 after being the college player of the week. So then I'm just riding him, you know, and like, I rode him harder than anybody probably ever. And I think it's cool to see, like, people like say that he was a really great person, and he was, and I don't know where the next 50 years would have went, you know. But yeah, it's cool. I like it.
That's awesome, man. Well, thanks for sharing that piece. And, you know, yeah, I want to go back to what you said about, you know, feeling, I guess my question would be, you know, in his period of time here, you know, what legacy do you think that he left within the group and as a man? And whether or not you feel compelled or feel some moral obligation, or just, you know, your own personal cause of trying to carry some of those things forward, I'd like to hear about.
I'm sorry. What was the question? What his legacy is, or what, yeah, I feel like it should be?
Yeah.
I like a lot of his friends and teammates from Creighton, Sparty and Vendetti, Low Five, have kind of opened up avenues to remember him every year for a baseball tournament and a baseball camp and scholarships. I think it's awesome. And it makes me proud and happy to have those things, because I feel like it's a good outlet to teach other people the good things that he did do and brought. And he was a extremely passionate person and put everything into what he was doing. And I feel like, this is tough. I wish more people knew him, and for new people that come on to F3 and get the Nugent flag and don't know him and are able to read his little thing on the flag, you know, from his VQ and stuff like that. I don't know how to tell people about him. I get pretty worked up when I talk about him, and I don't know how to reach those people and have them learn the things that they need to learn about him that would help in their own life, you know, to be a better husband. And, you know, just work your ass off. It's he was the hardest working dude, and he didn't sleep much, but he made things fun. And I think if you can work really hard and somehow make it fun, that would be a great legacy of his to carry forward for sure.
I love that. And it's such a cool, just sort of exercise or concept for us to think about this idea of legacy, right? And not only just what legacy of others left, but what legacy are we contributing to or potentially leading? I think what's so helpful too, just hearing your perspective on Nugent, because you kind of said, you know, he was both, right? He was the greatest guy in the world, and he was also a jerk sometimes, or he, you know, and so I think just realizing, I think there's a little bit of Nugent in all of us, right? And so then how do we channel that and learn from sort of the lessons that he taught? And I don't know, it's just to me, like, his journey and then the work we're doing to continue to honor him in F3, it's almost like we're creating something for guys to strive towards, you know, but also within that is this reminder that even on our best day, we all still have work to do, right? Even, you know, and even on our worst day, we still have some good in us. And I think it's just like, even just the idea of this man and the legacy he left sort of motivates each of us to just be better, you know? And so I don't know, it's just so cool to think like, we all have an opportunity, right, to leave a legacy like he did. So I don't know. I think it's just so cool just to hear you talking through it and you know, the emotions that you're feeling, you know, just to me demonstrates the impact that one person can have on another person's life, you know, just by being there and talking through day-to-day stuff or even the big stuff or the small stuff. And so I love it. It's so cool to me. And we don't, well, you know, said, as men, I don't know that we don't talk about these things, or we maybe don't realize them or reflect on them outside of sort of this thing that F3's created. Like, for whatever reason, you know, I've never had these conversations with people before I was doing F3. And so the fact that we have this vehicle that allows us to just realize what's happening here, right? Like in our day-to-day life on this, you know, rainy, gloomy day, there's men have an impact on each other and on our families and on our community. And it, I don't know, it's just a beautiful thing to me. My mind's a little bit blown right now, but, you know, curious as we kind of, talk through your second F journey, 'cause I'm curious, like, it sounds like you came into the group and sort of through some of these conversations, you were able to build relationships fairly quickly. But I don't know if that's an accurate sort of portrayal of what you experienced. I mean, how did that go for you, kind of trying to make some friends of your own through this group?
Yeah, it's I wouldn't say I, you know, opened up to very many people quickly. That's not my thing. So it's I had to get to know a few people on the, like, on the side a little bit. You know, if there's 20 people in the group and then one or two of us, whoever's sitting with me at coffee at Hy-Vee or whatever, like, they'd ask me a couple questions, I'd get to know them, and then I'd see them the next week and I was like, oh, this is cool, the same guy, I already know your name, I already know what you do. So we got past some of the initial stuff, and then I kind of got to know a few other guys in the group, and I was like, man, this guy's an easygoing, fun guy, you know, this guy does this. And I, some of it kind of always stems back to, like, Nugent told me, this is such a cool group. We have an accountant I can ask questions to. We have a plumber, I can have him come over and help me with this. We have, you know, a lawyer, I can ask all these lawyer questions to. And I'm like, yeah, that is kind of cool. 'Cause like, I've got a few friends, but I don't have that many friends. You know, I've got four or five friends that you chat with on a regular basis that you kind of keep track of, but they're not, everybody's flourishing, you know, and professionally and things like that. So it's, like, now I was telling my wife, like, I know like 9 lawyers. Like, that is so cool to be able to, if we can set up a will and we can set up this, and you have tax questions and you have whatever else. And I call Low Flow and he comes over and fixes my toilet. And it's like, you just, whoever else it is, like, the very first place I start is F3. Like, it just, it's a group of people that are there for the common good. Like, we're not there. Like, at first I thought it was kind of fake. Like, in my brain, like, they're like, these guys are telling, like, they're COT and they're like, that's some deep thinking stuff. Like, okay, I'm a pretty deep thinker. So I would analyze a lot of the stuff people would say. And then I went to a Halloween beatdown, and Griswold and Rowdy did it. And it was just about their favorite Halloween movies. And I was like, well, that's pretty cool. That's not like overthinking it, you know, like, you're just being who you are. And so then that made me like them even more, because I'm like, yeah, we don't have to be the most insightful people every single day, you know, and think of everything that's, you know, mind blowing or whatever. It's like, just be who you are, and that's good enough. And I just thought that was a, I thought that was a really cool way to kind of jump in. So like, I did not want to do a VQ. Like, I was like, I love coming to these workouts, but like, I don't want to lead any of them. I don't want to. I don't mind doing the workout part. I could set that up, but I don't want to talk at the end. I don't really want to say anything. And then Sister Act, him and I got pretty close, and I had lunch with him one time, and he's like, "You just got to do it. Like, you're taking from everybody, but you're not giving. You're not giving back." And I was like, I don't really want to do that though. And he's like, "I don't care. You need to do, like, if you're going to do this, are you going to quit doing this anytime soon?" I'm like, "No, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep doing this." He's like, "Well, then think about it. Like, you're going to make so-and-so do it 5 times this month, unless you start doing it. And then he only has to do it 4 times or something, you know, like, you got to pull your part of the rope." And so I was like, "Okay, so sign me up." So then I did my VQ, and it was tough. You know, like, I thought more about that night, what I'm going to say. And like, that's all it comes down to, is like, I hate speaking in front of groups of people. And it just kind of got to the point where I'm like, okay, just say whatever you want to say. They don't care at 5 a.m. what you're saying. They're just, something needs to be said, and it's your turn to say it. Just get up there and talk. So then I got past that and spoke, and a lot of my good friends in the group were there, and it was a great morning. You know, it was June at Main Stage, and it was just a beautiful morning, sun coming up was awesome. So it's, once you do it the first time, like, oh man, that wasn't tough. Like, I can do that. So once you do it a couple of times, you're like, I got more comfortable. So then I remember we were doing the thing at the MCL building for the fundraiser, and Sparty's like, "Hey, I'm gonna need you to speak at that, if you would, you know." And I was like, "Well, let me think on it." Yeah. And then he sent me like the thing, like, "Here's your time frame of when you'll be on." And I was like, "I thought we were gonna talk about this. Like, I thought I said I would help out. You know, I meant like I would bring like the waters or set up tables and chairs and stuff. Like, I didn't say I would talk." And he's like, "Nah, I think you'd be perfect for it. I already got you down." And I was like, "Oh, geez, okay." So then going through that was a challenge, but then after doing it, I felt better than I'd ever felt. And it was such a, for someone who hates a microphone in their hand and a spotlight on them and people looking at them, like, it was just a, it was a rewarding experience for me. And I was like, that's something that if he wouldn't have pushed me to go do it, I wouldn't have done it ever on my own, signing up for, really don't plan to do ever again. But if it happens, it happened, you know. Yeah. But it just kind of, it opened up to, well, if I can talk in front of 100 guys, like, I could talk in front of 20 guys any day of the week, you know. And just like you said, it's an avenue that I could call all of my friends, and we're not going to talk for an hour on the phone and open up about stuff that really gets me going, you know. And it's like, it's a cool way to have people understand what I'm going through on a daily basis, you know, like, and, you know, so that I don't cue as often as I probably should, but a few guys reach out here and there, and I get on there when I can, but it's just I don't like to overdo it, because I feel like I don't have that much important stuff to say. And then, but who does, you know? I guess no one has the most enlightening, you know, wisdom in the world. So just whatever you got clicked on that day, whatever's in your brain, whatever's going on, like, just let it out, and the group's there just to accept it.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting about the COTs is, regardless of what you're saying, because you're right, it could be anything in any given day. You don't know if what impact that's going to have on any one guy in the group, which is huge, I think. You know, I resonate with you. The first time I VQ'd, I memorized my COT because I was so nervous and wanted to say the right stuff. And I'm like, that is so dumb. No one does that. Just go in and just say what's weighing on you that day. So, but I am curious. Do you remember what you said in your VQ for your COT?
It was about having fun. So I said that every day that I would talk with Nugent would make me like smile and have fun. So I was like, we need to have fun. Like, you can take, you be serious at work, be serious with whatever else you need to be serious with, but you got to have fun Or what's the point? You know, like there's, I think people are sometimes more concentrated on, you know, improving their status either at work or job, you know, career types, things that can keep propelling you. And that's great to be 5-year plans, 10-year plans, you know, motivated to really keep pushing it up. And well, then you talk to somebody and they travel 5 days a week and they don't see their kids grow up. And it's like, man, I could trade a lot of money to be able to watch my kids each day eat dinner and grow up. And then you're in it and it's like, oh my gosh, this is overwhelming. I got 3 kiddos and we're at practices and we're going all over town. And it's just like, it's a lot, but I like that. Now I wouldn't mind having a few more extra dollars in whatever we sure. could trade off, you know, for those types of things. So it's kind of a give and take, but I think it's always comes back to that. You just need to, not take things too serious, try to have a pretty lighthearted and try to have fun with whatever you're trying to do. I think was what my COT was about.
Love it.
That's perfect. Yeah. You know, those messages for me, I'm notorious for taking myself too seriously. And then I set expectations that are too high that I can never meet. And then I just swirl. And so somebody just reminding me, like, if you can't laugh at yourself, or just come out and have fun, like you're missing the point of it all. And so I need that message probably once a week. So, you know, I appreciate the guys that share that. Cause I'm the guy trying to have some quote, and, you know, I've always dreamed of like a COT where everybody cheers and their life changes and it's never happened, you know.
Keep trying, though.
Yeah. So I love that, your take on the COT. I do have to ask you this question, just because you told us about the orange juice. Have you started drinking coffee?
I do.
You do.
I
do.
So okay. I grew up about a year ago. Mufasa made it okay for me to drink hot chocolate.
Oh, okay.
At, like, Vidlax was our spot. So every Tuesday I've been at Vidlax the last year and a half or 2 years or whatever. And the lady brings me a hot chocolate. And then after the hot chocolate, I have a cup of coffee. So it kind of started as a mixture where I started at Hy-Vee. I would have half coffee and half hot chocolate, kind of the old slushy suicide, you know, from back in the day, and kind of mixing and matching. And then I didn't know what all these things my wife would get randomly at like a Starbucks or something. And I started drinking like some caramel options. Well, those are like $6. And I was like, oh God, I can't do this every day. You know, right. Like this is too much. So then if a coffee is $2 and this is $6, like I can suffer through it. So now I have coffee like every day. And it's pretty wild because like, I'd be like 1 or 2 days a week I would have it. And then was in affecting me where I'm like, I haven't had any caffeine like over the weekend. I don't drink it very often because I don't work out too often on the weekends. And it's like, if I don't drink it, like, I don't know if I'm crankier or I'm just more tired in the afternoon. I feel like going to sleep, but I just don't know what the situation is. My wife's like, well, you didn't have any coffee. I'm like, you think that does that? Like, oh yeah. So then like, I can tell if I get home, I am on fire to get the kids up. Let's get moving. Let's do this. I got to start my work. She's like, chill out. I haven't had any coffee. I can tell you have.
Right.
Like you are on fire this morning.
That's
so
funny.
Yeah. So now I'm a 1 cup of coffee drinker a day now.
Oh, I love it.
I am curious. So, you know, you've talked about the health benefits you've gotten from the group. You've talked about being able to connect with other guys in a shared community. What is it that you want from this group or from this workout, from this weird grown-up kindergarten thing, recess that we do? Just generally curious.
What do I want from it? Now that I've been in it almost 3 years, I like the way it's going. And I see, like, I was at Q-Tip's 70th birthday within the last month at Fancy Feast. And when I'm walking down the stairs and it's pitch black and it's 4:40 and I'm getting ready to go, I'm thinking to myself, like, am I going to be doing this when I'm 70? And I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do. Cause like, if I see, there's so many respect guys in the group that they look like they're 40 years old. They're running all over the dang place. They're doing 1,000 pushups, and there's just something about getting up, doing some hard work, working out, that I really love. And it's like, I never liked that. Now I'm going to bed at 9 o'clock instead of 11:30. And it's like, who am I? You know, I wake up and I got 48 texts from my friends watching the end of the game. Did you see that? I'm like, no, I didn't see any of it. I went to bed at 9. Like, I was just blacked out. Like at 9 o'clock. So I feel so unique about that part of it that I don't want it to be, I'm trying to find like the happy medium where if I'm like last night, I stayed up and watched basketball till 11 o'clock and texting with my buddies. Well, then I didn't get up and go work out today because yeah. It's like, I've stayed up too late. Now I feel like I'm gonna be too tired. So whatever that kind of got into, but I've enjoyed the F3, the third part of it, the third letter there that, like my parents are the most giving, selfless people that I've ever met in my life. And I felt like I'm more of a selfish, I was the baby in the family and I had a lot of things kind of given to me, that I didn't like to go, we would go on Thanksgiving and feed the homeless, you know, on Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. I'm like, this is so dumb. Like, why are we doing this? This is a drag, you know, in junior yeah. high or whatever. And my whole life they've given a million things to a million people and taken people in and just awesome people. And it's like, that just wasn't me at the core. So I was like, I love that F3 provides an easier outlet to help less fortunate people, you know, if a diaper drive and then a food drive and then do this pantry and help here, help there. I really like that aspect as a community. Like if this keeps growing and we keep getting more people and more sites and more places, like the workout's great and the fellowship's great, but we have a chance to really make an impact in our city of Omaha and surrounding areas that if we all kind of push in the same direction, you know, these scholarship numbers from F3 that Sparty has, like these are astounding numbers in my brain. Like I'm thinking if you can raise $5,000, like that's pretty cool. If you raise $100,000, like you're doing something, you know, like yeah. that's not small change. So it's like, I think we have a responsibility now that we've grown this quick, this fast, and have a lot of high impact men in the group now that we need to just keep moving in that direction and figuring out what's the, I don't know, the best thing to do, but just keep finding these little avenues. You know, if more people donated blood, how many more things could we, how many more people could you save? You know, like mm-hmm. I didn't donate blood before. Now I do it every 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. And it's like these little things are like, if you just do one little thing, you know, you donate $5 to a scholarship, $10 to a diaper drive, donate your blood, help at wherever, you know, if someone, I'll tell you, say one other thing. Tonight Show did a queue the last week before I passed my shovel flag. And he had a really good COT. And he said, my wife likes that I do F3 because if something ever happened to me, she knows there'd be 100 guys on her doorstep the next morning to help her get through this. And it's like, knowing what's gone on with Nugent's life and kind of the same situation, you know, like the same shit happens to whatever happens in someone's life, their kids, their parents, their, you know, families, like this group is there just as a, whatever they need. Like, what do you, we can help in financially, we can help support, we can help, you know, mow your yard, we can help shovel your driveway, like whatever the help that you need is needed. There's somebody in this group that's definitely willing and able to do it. And I think that's a really peaceful thing to think about. I think that, that this group's here, that if you stay with it and you keep friendships and, you know, I go out to lunch more, I meet people for coffee more, like I'm more social than I've ever been. Which I don't know if I always love either, but it's like, it's fun to go meet other people, you know, and it just, it yeah. gives me a good avenue or a good outlet to get out of my little comfort zone. I think that was one of my things I said at that scholarship event that I just said, fuck your comfort zone. You know, like a lot of people kind of get into your, I do this and then I do this and you kind of get into the same thing. Like try to get out of that. Try to get out of your comfort zone. Me speaking on this podcast is about as uncomfortable as I could possibly be besides getting in front of a ton of people and doing it, you know? So I like this avenue better, staring at a phone than I do yeah. staring at everybody's eyes that are in the room and stuff like that. But it's like, if I can speak up in front of all those people, then for sure anybody else can do it. Cause it's an uncomfortable feeling, but it's good to feel uncomfortable too.
Yeah. And I was, people play, did clap and cheer after tonight's show, COT.
What's that? That?
I did mentally for sure.
Yeah.
I am curious, you know, with you hearing that, you know, what does your family think about this group, the impacts it's had on them?
It's been good. Like, I don't know, my mom works with Sister Act, and she'll tell me, oh, he said he saw you this morning and you did great and you did this, but it's not ever anything I ever go like tell my parents about, like what I did at my workout today. You know, I'm like, I won't even say like brag, but I just don't even tell them like what I do ever. So it's not like that would go, but my wife likes it. I think she, sometimes I sneak off to coffee a little bit too late before I get home. And then I've kind of missed my 10 minute help window when I could help with the kiddos, you know? So I sometimes lose track of time, because I'm having so much fun at coffee that you just kind of lose track. But I think I love the summers because she's a teacher and she's sleeping in with the kids. So I have like unlimited cafeteria time.
Yeah,
I mean, until I got to start work at some point, but it's, like I could be gone for 3 hours in the morning and it's like, I've had two different days. Like your whole morning's your one day. And then you're like, well, now I have to go to work and go coach a baseball game or whatever it is. It's like, those are two separate days in my mind, you know? And it's almost feeling like you're getting double the amount of time on earth, I guess. Like you get 2 days every day, you know? And it's kind of a funny being up before the sun, doing some things, having some coffee, chatting with some guys, and then get home. It's like, it's 6:45 in the morning and I've already done a million things. I feel like, you know, I've had a full day already, you know, and I haven't even, no one else is even up at my house. So it's, I feel like they know the benefits that it does, whether or not it's a detriment at times for I'm falling asleep at 8 o'clock on a night or sometimes if I go too many days in a row or something, but for the most part, I can grind through and kind of make it happen. But occasionally I will stay up late until like midnight or one and then get up and go work out. And I'm a disaster. Like at some point it catches up to you, you know, and I don't know who's going to feel it. If my kids are feeling the wrath from me yelling at them for cleaning the room or whatever they're acting up about. But like, I know I need to, sometimes I'll regroup and like, okay, I need about 12 hours of sleep and then I'll be fresh, you know, I'm right back in the game. But
yeah,
it's something.
I love just hearing that, you know, everybody's family is different, how they respond or how they, you know, what they think of this cult that we're in. But you know, I just wish those morning hours wouldn't go by so fast. Sometimes I feel like, you know, I don't know that, like, I wish my work day would go by as fast as those, you know,
the absolutely. Time, but absolutely.
You know, I did want to just, you mentioned sort of finding that rhythm or, you know, I think what's so cool about this group is like, we have some guys that can only post on Saturday, but they go every Saturday. Right. And that's what their family, their schedule allows. And I know for me, like every time we have a kid, then I don't post for at least a month. And then I slowly work back up to, you know, 4 days a week or whatever. But what I've come to realize is like, you're just as much a part of this group if you're the 1 day a week guy or you're a 6 day a week guy, or like all of the access to friends and support and love and whatever you need is there for either guy. Like there's no requirement from the other men in the group that's like, well, I'm not going to help you because you didn't post at my site or because you know, like there is none of that. There's no like, you don't have to earn the love and respect and support of the group, right? Other than like, we want you to come out and have a nickname at least, right? So it's just so cool to me because you don't find that. So there's all of these requirements, right? Every other organization or sort of group is like, you have to check certain boxes in order to be a part of it. And I don't know, it's just so unique. You mentioned a little bit about the Third F, kind of the community service stuff and the foundation. Curious the other side of that Third F sort of faith or like more of the spiritual faith kind of development. What's been your sort of journey in that space?
Yeah, it's so I grew up in a very Christian household, went to church every single week. My mom played the piano at the church, so like we never missed. We would go extra. We'd be there early. We'd stay late. My dad did a lot of the financial stuff for the churches, so I'd help count the money and very invested. And then we kind of, when you got to college, I kind of had more freedom, so I didn't kind of go that direction very often, or I try to, you know, occasionally. And then I like the process of it. So when we had kids, they've been baptized and we get them in the church and we try to make it as much as possible. They're very active in sports. And at some point we screwed up and made sports more important than church, I guess. So we play a lot of sports Sunday mornings, you know, so sometimes it's a challenge to get to it as much now, but I would say I love the 2 minute prayer to start your day. It kind of gets me grounded, a little more centered, a little others centered maybe, than I would just if I wake up on my own. It's what do I need to do today? What's on my plate? Instead of like, how can we make someone else's day better? Kind of mindset. And it's try to be a little more others centered. I feel like if I'm here in the COT, whatever their thought is, I'm thinking about it. And then if I take that and then have a prayer and they offer up, you know, how often does someone say, how can I pray? What can I pray for you about? Right. You know, everyone's like, man, I got a couple things, you know, and I don't bring them to the table too often, but when I do, it's definitely weighing on me. And I love to have, you know, 15 other guys sit there and holding me in a group and just say, let's pray for this, you know? And I just know that that's, it can't hurt. I know that. I don't know exactly how much it helps, you know, percentage wise or something like that, but I know it's not hurting to release those things out there to the, you know, you get to the Wild Kingdom and you're staring at the stars in the middle of the morning and it's like, this is pretty cool. You know, it's just, it's quiet. You see, you're having your little moments and it's a pretty cool little feeling to feel like we're so small in this big grand scheme of things that there's something else out there. And I feel like we get closer to it by being out there and in it together, I think.
Heck yeah. You know, I love that perspective. And I think you're like, there's so many guys in that spot, you know, where like, you know, if church was from 3 to 5 in the morning, we probably would all be there.
Crush right.
But, but, you know, maybe we need to start that, but it's just being able to be in creation, right. Be in the outdoors, be with other people and sort of channeling that energy, you know, and then, like you said, asking for prayers and then lifting up those prayers on a regular basis. You know, I think about some of these guys that they can't even post because of what they're going through, but they've got, you know, 9 or 10 AOs full of guys praying for them, you know, and just kind of the power of that is cool to me. I do, you know, I know we've talked a lot about Nugent, throughout this discussion, but I'm curious, like, when you think about your life, what, you know, is there a story or a just sort of experience or something that you would say sort of is unique to who you are, or something that kind of would help guys just understand, hey, this is who Sweet Sweet is. This is one of the things that maybe makes you who you are. Anything in that space? Just curious.
I don't know what makes me. I don't know what to say.
It's not a trick question. I promise.
I don't know what makes me tick. I don't know. I like when people are honest. I like, whether it's like I said, something about being brutally honest. You don't have to be brutally honest. Just being honest, you know, shoot you straight. I like people that are kind, fun. That's a couple of big attributes that you don't have to be an a-hole just to be one. You know, if you're tired and you're grumpy or whatever the situation is, maybe you are one, but just trying to not take things too serious. I try to be a pretty calm, calming, relaxing person most of the time, but I'm a fierce competitor. Mm-hmm. So like if I'm in a sport, I'm coming for you for sure. Yeah. So it's like, it's a funny balance for me to try to be, you know, coach first grade girls basketball and be calm. and when there's a lot of chaos going on. Yeah. So each Saturday, you know, this last weekend, I think I coached 6 basketball games, and there's, you know, referees just rub me the wrong way a lot of times, whether it's whatever the situation is. So I need to practice what I preach all the time, but I got some fire in here that, that comes out. But for the most part, Monday through Friday, I'm pretty easy going. So it's, that's kind of what makes me tick. Just, be nice, family man, love my wife and kids and family, extended family is great. I'm a blessed person, for sure. And it's, I guess that's it. I don't know.
I love it. That's a great answer.
I think it's great. And while we're on the conversation of the power of prayer, I mean, what things can we be praying for you? You know, words of encouragement we see out in the gloom. What's weighing on you today?
This is Nugent battle. It's pretty on my mind all the time. His court case last Monday, I think they've had 17 delays in it for the individual being charged, and they found him not guilty for reason of insanity, so he won't be charged, and I'm struggling with it for sure. I got a lot of questions, a lot of things on my mind that I don't know what to do with, but that would be a big one. And then just to be a good dad and a good husband would be good.
Yeah. I hadn't heard that news yet. So that I'm joining with you in the confusion and frustration on something like that.
I don't know what to, there's still some more delays and there's still some more hearings coming and there's more things coming down the pike, but it's like every 3 months it's just ripping off another band-aid and seeing the guy's face and being in the courtroom with Nugent's parents and sisters. It's a lot.
Yeah. I know we're coming up on time. I forgot to ask you about being a psych Q and sort of the, you know, from a leadership perspective, sort of helping you gain confidence. Maybe just talk us through that a little bit, share kind of your experience, and then would love to hear about the succession planning.
Ketchup came to me last May and asked if I had any interest. He wanted to take me out to lunch. And I was like, why do you want to take me out to lunch for? He's like, well, there's gotta be something, but you don't just want to take me out to lunch. Like, what's going on? You know, he's like, well, I'd like to talk to you about maybe being the site queue. And I said, oh, okay. Yeah, that's fine. And he's like, that's fine. You'll do it. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it.
Like, I don't even have to buy you lunch.
I was like, I feel like people make it out to be a really big thing. And I was just trying to make, like, there are big things in the world, and like, that's just not one of them to me. Like, it's a site that's a half a block from my house. I'm there 90% of the time anyway. It was like a really easy yes for me. I didn't even know what it entailed. So I was like, well, maybe I should ask some questions first. Take me to lunch. Let's talk. You know, so then we ended up, you know, he kind of gave me some of the details behind it and, you know, what he had learned, what Mufasa had done, you know, and Thomas and Tonight Show, and just like a good group of psych use. We kind of got all in a big group chat, and then it just became super funny. Awesome guys that I got to know better and better, that I was like, well, this is a great little resource that if I'm going to be gone, I'm going to send it to this group, and one of you guys need to pick me up and help me out, you know? And so it was a very easy from that perspective, but setting the alarm for 4:05 or 4:10 to be there, you know, at 4:45 to do the pre stuff. So I did something pre-work every Tuesday, and that was way out of my comfort zone. So the first day, Cadbury started running like 7-minute miles, and I'm running with him, it's just me and him, and I thought I was gonna die. I was like, we have to get back, and I can't run this fast, this long, you know? So he was just like, oh, what's going on? You know, just, he was very chipper and just sprinting, talking, and I'm like, I am not in this type of shape, man. I'm like a 9-minute mile, so we're on different pages. I'm sprinting as fast as I can for a half hour. Like, this is So then I was like, okay, I better keep it up. So then I tried to do something pre every time. So I really enjoyed my time at SiteQ. I loved finding people to come be the site leader, or you know, for that week and queue. It kind of gave me a great avenue and outlet to reach out to them to kind of get to know them better, and gave me a reason to text somebody. Like, I just feel like if I don't have a good reason, I just kind of stay in my own little bubble and I don't reach out very much. So I loved that it pushed me to, I have 25 new guys' phone numbers in my phone that maybe I'm not going to text them all the time, but now at least it's in there. It's a lot easier to do once it's in there, you know? So it's just having more connections, more people that I know. And a lot of the guys I brought out, I was trying to do I wanted to make F3 Omaha more encompassing, like the same 10 guys. I don't want to go to the same site every single week, where it's like, I love when someone from Sarpy comes out to work out and someone from the East Side comes, or Bennington comes. And I just like when there's a bigger group of people showing up from different parts of town. So I was always trying to once a month, maybe have somebody from Sarpy, or once a month, have somebody from, you know, Othello, or somebody out West that we could get them to come. It didn't always work out, but, and then, yeah, the succession plan, it was just Switchfoot and I at coffee one morning, and, him and I go back to like junior high together, but we didn't talk ever, like in junior high or high school. Like, we went to school together for 6 years and I don't think I said one word to each other, you know. Just, we weren't in the same crew, you know? Yeah. And then, so he started coming out, knew a couple other guys, and then got to know him really well. Awesome guy. And he said he was going to be the site Q at Main Stage. And I was like, oh, that's a bummer, man. I was going to ask you to be the one at the Wild Kingdom, but since you're already there, we'll just, you know, I won't take you from baby shoes or whatever. And then like 2 hours later, he texts me. He's like, shouldn't I have a say in this, though? Like, I think I'd rather be. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I guess. Yeah. What do you think? And he's like, well, I think I'd rather be the one at the Wild Kingdom. And he's like, I do Tuesdays more. I was like, well, let's do it. He's like, we text Baby Shoes, and Baby Shoes like, what the heck, man? You said you weren't going to steal. Cause we had talked about it like 3 months earlier that he was thinking about asking Switchfoot. And I was like, oh man, I was kind of thinking he'd be a good one for me, cause I already knew him, and he comes every Tuesday all the time. So I just thought it was funny that he's like, no, I think I'd rather do the Wild Kingdom. So I was like, well, sorry, Baby Shoes, you're out of luck, man. He already had somebody. They were just going to have two guys do it. So then it just kind of worked out to just have, I think the two guys sounds good in theory, because then you don't always have to be there and it's less demanding. But I think one's plenty. Yeah, you know, it's feels more, I don't know what the right word is, but like it's yours. You know, yeah, like I liked having the flag ride around with me every single day. My kids are kind of curious about it, and just, you know, trying to put their feet, like, you can't step on the flag, we can't touch the flag, can't touch the ground, and just some bylaws, you know, you got to live by. But now that it's not in there, it's a unique feeling. I went to Cornhusker Handicap for the first time in like 18 months yesterday. Okay. So I was like, well, this is weird, driving right past Wild Kingdom. Like, it's right by my house. So it's kind of I'll be back there a lot, but yeah, it was a great time. I enjoyed my time. I'm up for it again, probably in the next decade, wherever it leads you, you know. But it's just kind of like, it's nice when it's pouring down rain and it's negative 40 degrees that you're like, I don't have to go today. Right. So it's a good and bad, where every Monday night, I didn't even look at the weather. I just said, I'm getting up at 4:05 and I'm going, like, whatever it is, I'll check in the morning, cause it doesn't matter. Where now I don't want to get soft, and I skipped today cause it was going to be raining and I was going to be tired. And it's like, then I see all these hammers out there just getting dumped on and running all over. And I'm like, ah, I should have been out there. So that's a little this, a little of that, but yeah, I enjoyed my time. Succession plan worked out really well, and I was happy to help.
Liberty Core Real Estate is your homegrown real estate broker. If you're looking to buy or sell real estate, whether personal or investment, Armando, aka Brian, and Megan Michaels' company is ready to serve you. With Command Center in Old Town Elkhorn and agents all throughout the metro, they are more than ready to guide and serve you in your next real estate endeavor. Whether your next move needs to happen now or in 5 years, call or text Armando at 402-770-2165 to get your questions answered. And a special offer for F3 Nation PAX members, Liberty Core will donate $250 to your sponsor of choosing for every closed transaction. Stop looking, start finding today with Liberty Core Real Estate.
Yeah, I love it. Well, I appreciate you just taking time to share your story. You know, I do want to just affirm you. You know, I think hearing your story, what you've been through, and where you are now, I mean, I can't help but just see Nugent smiling, right? And just being so proud of who you are and the way that you're not only helping to carry his legacy on, but just creating your own. And it's just so cool to hear. And I'm glad that I get to know you. You know, it's just such a cool thing that we get through this group. So just appreciate you and who you are, man. We'll do a little name-a-rama to close us out. I'll start us off here. Brandon Fleaherty, 38, the plague.
Joe number 33, Pony Express.
Pony, nay.
Bill Rickley, 41, sweet, sweet.
Sweet, sweet. And what, do we have a call sign or do we sit? Nope, you don't need one, right?
Nope.
Awesome. I love it, man. Hey, thanks for your time today.
Thanks, guys.